This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.
Hey, what's going on? It's your girl K-Dot back in the Ripple Effect. You already know what it is. You already know the vibes. And I'm sorry. I should have left you with a dope take to step two. You know, listen, there's been a lot going on. As you know, I've been watching. Don't worry. I know you haven't heard from me in a minute, but I've been watching. Grizzlies have shown me something. I know everybody wants to talk about the regular season and last year. Listen, until you actually do it and on the biggest stage, then we can talk. And you know what? We can talk. The Grizzlies are not giving up. Obviously, Ja Morant hasn't been out there due to injury, that freak accident, you know, between when him being double-teamed and Jordan Poole and that whole thing. And I'm sorry. Like, sometimes I just got to remain quiet and let everybody talk because I thought that was so ridiculous how people just want to automatically jump to conclusions and go to the super slow-mo and say, oh, we think that was malicious. I'm like, you know what? This is where technology is a little bit too much and how it's good to use it. It's good when it's good, right? But then it's bad when it's bad. We can't read into stuff so much. Even we can go as far as back as Dylan Brooks. Some people say, like, you know, tit for tat sort of thing. Listen. I don't think that's what it is. I think the playoffs is physical. It's aggressive. Guys want to win, right? Guys want to make a name for themselves on the biggest stage. So with that comes injuries. Injuries is part of the game. So I would like to think that, yeah, sometimes things can happen. Or with the Dylan Brooks play, we can honestly say that he's not a dirty player. He works really hard. We have to appreciate his development and where he's at. And if he had jumped when he went to go swipe that ball from Gary Payton II, we wouldn't be having, like, all this controversy, right? But, yeah, it was a dirty play done by a player that's not dirty at all. It's not that guy. We can't put it in the same conversation with Draymond and what happened over there. It's just nonsense. We can't do it. That was a play that I would say is more reckless. Shouldn't have happened. Guy's in midair. He's obviously vulnerable. Both sides are going to have, like, Steve Kerr was, you know, saying how, you know, Gary Payton's story, and we all love an underdog story, right? As Americans, we always say, man, this guy fought to get to where he's at. You know, he's earned his spot. He's playing really well on the biggest stage, and it's unfortunate that a dirty play, right, got him taken out. But at the same time, it was more of a reckless play. I think that's, like, a better way to phrase it. Yeah, I could see how somebody would say it is dirty, though. Wouldn't argue that, but I would say that the intent was just different. I just think it was just more reckless, more should have been more aware of the what was going on. And like I said, a guy in the air, vulnerable, you know, if you knock him out of the air, he's susceptible to all these different things. And then you got all these different people, like Charles Barkley saying it's the way you fall. And yeah, that's true, but we already talked about how Gary Payton's still kind of new to all this. He just earned his spot. I don't think he was really thinking in the heat of the moment that somebody was going to swipe him that way. And then thinking about the way he landed, that's just unfortunate. And I hope to see him back soon, but it really depends on how the Warriors play. I mean, there's been no excuse lately. We can talk about the Memphis Grizzlies and what they've been doing with or without Ja Morant the whole season, right? Some people, you know, had the Memphis Grizzlies written off already because Ja wasn't playing. I'm like, have you been watching the regular season? Like, come on. Like, don't write him off just because Ja's not playing. I had the Warriors in five just based off of experience and what I know the Warriors are capable of doing. But if you also remember my previous episodes, I also said that Klay literally had to block out all the noise, right? Just play his game and get better and play within the system. Like, what makes the Warriors so great, playing in that system, understanding your role on that team and understanding that we need you to be the old Klay Thompson, even though it's probably an unrealistic thing for him to kind of just jump in there, having been out 2 years in a playoff setting, you know, to kind of be his exact self, because that's a tall order. Because this dude, remember, he's no joke. Like I said, 37 points in the third quarter, you know, on like 9 dribbles. Like, dude's no joke. But also, Steph. Listen, I love Steph Curry. Love everything about him. Same thing, underdog thing, right? From Davidson, led his team throughout March Madness to the Final Four, I believe. Nobody really, or it's Elite Eight, whatever. point is, you know, nobody really thought of that school as much of anything. But when he showed out, you know, he was drafted to the Warriors organization. But once he was there, they still had question marks, right? It was a lot of question marks on what he was going to be based off of injuries, right? His strength level, right? That's something that he's always struggled with. But he just practiced and worked his tail off. And look where that's gotten him to, like, the best shooter ever, right? But if we're giving him that title, he's done a lot this season, right, by assuming that mantle of being the best ever, comfortable with people calling him that, right? Steph, man, you got to show up. I can't defend you to some of these people when it comes to playoff time. I get that defenses are defending you differently. So when we're looking at other guys and we're seeing what they're doing and how they're able to lead their team, the way Steph is being defended is so crazy. And remember, everything about the Warriors is definitely predicated on, you know, constant movement. And everybody is worried as they get older, how sustaining is that, you know, especially with Klay, like I said, coming off his injuries and not playing for 2 years. Jordan Poole, they do have a nice young core. Kuminga, new to the lineup. I think the biggest thing, like if somebody asked me what's going on with the Warriors, a lot of his leadership, right? Those in-game adjustments. I mean, the other night, I mean, with Mike Brown, because Steve Kerr, I believe he was under protocol. Not sure for health and safety protocols, not sure of what nature, but that's just what it was. And he wasn't there, even though they kind of assured everybody that Steve Kerr was, you know, being up to date with everything. He was there. They were FaceTiming him, making sure that he understood, you know, whatever message that he wanted to disseminate to the rest of the guys and the coaching staff, and it was all being done. It was all being taken care of. But with Mike Brown there, you can kind of see, like, it got out of hand with the Memphis Grizzlies, and it got out of hand quick. There was nobody that really stepped up. Steph has got to do better, not shooting well, not also just not shooting, period, not being able to make a basket, you know, in the fourth with, like, 5 minutes to go. I mean, come on, like, I mean, we're not even talking about when they were already being blown out. We're just talking about it even in previous games. The Warriors have to understand that the Memphis Grizzlies are not the Pelicans. You know what I mean? Like, and that's no knock towards them. It just means that Memphis is different. You know, the way they're being coached. And shout out to the coach, too, because I definitely gave some criticism towards his way by saying, you know, you can't just let Ja just kind of just, you know, do his own thing. Like, it needs to be, like, a well-thought-out plan, because you will be out-coached by Steve Kerr, and he definitely came back with it. And he went back to, you know, pretty much maybe even settling himself down and understanding, like, wait, we're a complete deep team. We defend well. We get to the basket. We get to the free throw line. We look for the open guys. Bane has had an incredible year. Not to mention, you know, besides Ja, it was Jackson, he had a great game, shot a couple of threes, and I noticed once Jermaine starts getting going, and you can tell by the spacing when he's hitting those threes, the spacing is completely different, and it opens everybody up. And Jones, you know, Tyrus Jones at the point guard position, it's like this guy could be a starter, you know, on any given night, and that's saying something. Like I said, but the biggest thing, like I said, to answer the question about the Warriors, is spacing. I feel like they've gotten away from what makes them great, and a lot of it is spacing. Not to mention their defense, right? Their defense leading to their offense. When you go back to when Gary Payton Jr. is on the floor, and I know he's just one guy and he's not the star, but you have to understand what he does coming off the bench and the weight that he takes off of the other guys because they don't have to score as much, right? Or even move around as much, depending on if they have a, you know, an advantage headed back down to the other end. All those things matter. Draymond, too, they got to be better. They have to play smarter. They have to understand the Memphis Grizzlies have arrived. They're not going to give this to you, even though that you're supposed to be, you know, the better team. You know, meaning better coached, better, more experienced. Memphis is here. Memphis is not playing And you got to appreciate that. Like I said, even though I wasn't right about that, you know, for a multitude of reasons, right? But at the same time, it's beautiful to watch because it just means we're literally watching the Memphis Grizzlies grow up right before our eyes. We're watching them ascend to another level. And it's crazy because it's like the same thing that we're asking other teams to do, and they just can't seem to do it for the life of them. And that's an easy transition into Philly and what is going on in Miami, right? It's simple, guys. It's simple. Miami was the better team. Joel Embiid said it straight up. I mean, people can say he's a bad teammate because he's throwing James under the bus. He's throwing Ben under the bus. No, honestly, those guys have thrown themselves under the bus. Joel Embiid has prided himself on kind of just telling you what it is. And it's just a fact. Joel, you're a stud. You're a warrior. I mean, anybody who's a fan of basketball, this is what you want to see. He rose to the occasion. I understand he didn't get MVP and everybody wanted to get on him and that's why he was distracted. Nah, I don't really think that's why he's distracted. I think, yeah, maybe he might be upset, but I think he's more distracted because James Harden isn't living up to his end of the deal, right? Tobias Harris, you know, everybody's kind of in and out. He's not blaming Maxi because Maxi's playing his heart out and it's his first time doing it and he's probably got nothing but respect for him. But at the same time, when you're going up against Jimmy Butler, you know, Tyler Hero, and it's like they did all that without Duncan Robinson, you know, hitting threes, and everybody thought they were going to just need more threes and that's who was going to win, and they didn't even need him. You know, but that's also a testament to the rest of them. Remember P.J. Tucker, he won a championship with the Bucks. He has that championship pedigree. He understands what it's like, you know, to win and what it took to win, more importantly, right, on the defensive end, understanding spacing, right? It's crazy. Listen, even with Kyle Lowry, right, just coming in and out, and he has the hamstring injury. As you know, if you've been following the game long enough or played or whatever, those are lingering issues, nagging issues. One day you may think you feel great. One day you win the game and make a little move and, you know, to from that deceleration to acceleration, you're like, oh, you know, and then that's it. And then you're out for another 2 weeks. So that's unfortunate. But I picked Miami coming out of East because I feel like Miami's built to last. You know, Philly, they didn't want it. They did not want it. When it comes to these playoffs, it is about talent, obviously. The best team usually wins. But at the same time, it's about who wants it more. What you saw was Miami take it. They wanted it, so they took it. Philly was leaving it there. James Harden, I mean, what more can we say about him? He hasn't been living up. I don't know if we're ready to say that James Harden is just not the James Harden that he used to be. I know everybody's so quick to say that because they want that quick take, right, and they want to be right about it. But I'm not ready to say that. I want to see what he's going to do in the offseason. I want to see if he's going to sit down with a nutritionist and actually change up his diet. I want to actually see if he's conditioning better and he's in great shape, best shape of his life, right? I want to see Embiid come back, right, and his face is fine. Like, you know, the fracture is healed, you know, from the orbital fracture that he had sustained, and the thumb surgery goes well. And the knee, he also had that as well. And that's finally healed and he's able to, you know, relax and get treatment and then see what's up. But I'm not at all. I know everybody's going to be like, what are you talking? You're giving him a pass. No. Sit down. Relax. Put your hands down. Listen, James Harden does not get a pass at all. His performance was trash. I'm just going to tell you straight like that. That's really what it was. It was hard to watch, knowing that this guy can just opt back in for 47 mil, you know, and sign an extension for 270. Like, I'm not even trying to hear any of that. You know, if I'm Daryl Morey, I know your relationship with Harden. If anything, he has more of a better assessment for how James Harden is. And but all I'm going to say is next year, he better show up and show out. They better not extend it. Fine. Give him the 47 mil, I wouldn't extend him. He needs to play out next year, and we need to see if you're worth extending. We need to see that if you will stay conditioned, right, if you will take your health seriously. Because at the end of the day, his current lifestyle is not sustaining for an 82-game season. And then if you want to be able to get those 16 wins in the postseason to hold up that Larry O'Brien trophy. I mean, that's what Embiid was talking about. Like, that's what you gotta love about Embiid. Not only just his game, his realness. He said it didn't matter if we got past this round and lost in the next, or if we got to the finals and then lost. The goal is to get an NBA championship, and anything else less is a fail. Straight up. No ifs, ands, or buts. He's not going to sit there and play GM and tell you who he thinks they should get rid of and bring in and trade for whom. He's not even getting in the middle of all that because he already knows how messy things like that can be. He watched Jimmy Butler leave for Tobias Harris. So he's obviously, it doesn't matter what he thinks, right? So why is he even going to get baited into that conversation? I respect the heck out of Embiid. And believe me, I've already respected him before the injuries. But what he was able to do throughout this process, it's amazing. And this is a heck of a process for him. And he's always trusted it and stayed with it. And I'm just like, you know what, Embiid, no matter what happens next, I'm rocking with you. I understand. Embiid is that dude, guys. He's earned everybody's respect. I don't want to hear anybody talking mess about him. This has been a year that or a season he would like to forget, you know, basketball wise, because it's been full of, I can't even say ups and downs. It's been more downs than anything, you know, more false ups, you know, high hopes, but nothing really much to show for it with the whole Ben Simmons fiasco and everything, and everybody's ready to say who won the trade. I think only time will tell. We won't know who won that trade just yet. We really don't, right? Brooklyn Nets, first round exit. Philly, second round exit. They both didn't get what they wanted. They both had championship aspirations. They both didn't succeed in that matter. So at the end of the day, right now you can honestly just say they can't sell out for right now. We don't know what Ben Simmons is going to be after his surgery and how he's going to feel and whether he's seeking the therapy that he said that he needed. So we don't know. We got to see what James Harden is going to do in the offseason in order to get himself right. So we just don't know. But I say all that to say this. Yes, I did pick Nikola Jokic. I gave you my reasonings. It was just too much. It was too hard. I explained to a lot of people that it was not an easy decision, even though people seem to think it was. It really wasn't. Yes, he is the back-to-back MVP, and rightfully so. What he was able to do without Jamal Murray, what he was able to do without Michael Porter Jr., what was it, 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, and 500 assists, breaking new record. Like, I don't even want to go there too much because I know people are going to be like, oh, so it's just about stats? Nah, because he was also led his team sixth in the West, right? I just think he did all these things. And a lot of people are only arguing about it because they don't have NBA League Pass. You didn't watch Nikola Jokic all season. No way. No way. Because if you watched him the entire season, you would understand why he was chosen. Or you can understand how it was difficult. Maybe you won't understand, like, necessarily why. Maybe. It depends on your flavor. Because some people, you know, suffer from cognitive dissonance and don't understand what that means and how you're used to a certain type of person, you know, winning that type of award back to back. And it just messes people up when it just doesn't happen. He's not your prototypical, you know, NBA star. Like, you don't think of Nikola Jokic, which is why his childhood pictures were circulating when he was like a chubby, you know, adolescent kid, right? And we thought that was funny, but at the end of the day, I'm like, well, that kid made a heck of a career for himself, and time would only tell to see exactly what he becomes and what his legacy is once he hangs it up. But at the end of the day, when you think about the finalists, it was difficult. Some people just had it as Nikola and Embiid. Yeah, you can also throw Giannis in that conversation. You can throw Booker in that conversation. When you think about Booker, Suns, 64 wins, right? A bulk of the games without Chris Paul. And it didn't matter because at the end of the day, he was carrying it. He was getting done. We could also look at strength of schedule and see who had the most difficult schedule. And you look at what Giannis has been doing and how he's just been carrying that team consistently as well. So I'm like, it was difficult. Embiid dealt with a lot for sure, averaging like almost 30 a game. It was hard. It was hard. And B plays on both sides of the ball, offense, defense, the eye test, passes, everything. But like I said, at some point, like it's difficult. You really got to make those decisions. And if you're like me, you not only try to speak to as many people as you can that are experts or analysts or what have you, or if you couldn't speak to them directly, you definitely listen to a lot of people. I listen to a lot of podcasts, read a lot of articles, and I've listened to a lot of great speak on how difficult this MVP was. And I noticed a lot of people weren't 100% sure about who they selected. Some people were definitely back and forth for a while before they ultimately made their decisions. And at least a lot of people in that writing, in the media room, they were also, I feel like that kind of got dragged out because a lot of people weren't sure. Some people were going back and forth with their vote. So, I mean, I think everybody did their due diligence, right? And they sat there and they said, okay, this is who we're going to pick and this is why. Me personally, if you said that you were choosing Embiid, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. If Embiid had a won, I would have been happy for him. I would have said he deserved it. I would have said Giannis deserved it. I would have said, you know, Nikola Jokic deserved it. But you know what? It's only one. It's only one award, unfortunately, right? Embiid definitely decided to have his best season at a time when Nikola Jokic just broke all those records, like something that nobody has ever done. That's tough. All you can tell a guy like that is, you know what, next time, since I know he was focusing on that award because I know he felt like he deserved it, next time don't focus on the award, bro. Like, just focus on winning. Focus on getting better. I see your shots improving. Focus on getting in the paint more, being more dominant. Like, just focus on that. Focus on winning. Focus on who you're going to get with you that's more reliable, who you're going to build around your team, who's going to be with you and ride it out with you. I know Maxey should be one of those guys for a young guy, what he was able to do, and that fact that he was crying after the game because this is how bad he wanted it and he laid it all out. You know, those are guys you want to keep around you, but I think that's something that he should definitely try to involve himself a little bit more, because that's what's going to impact, you know, things like this. Even though MVP award, honestly, I asked like maybe 10 different people and get 10 different answers about defining what MVP means. We already know it's most valuable player. We understand, what is it, of the league, of the team, and how it pertains to the league, or is it how many points you scored, how many are you on both sides of the ball? It's difficult because we took Embiid out, right? We saw how they played. We took, it's almost like, but if you take Nikola out, I feel like on Denver, it's like, good luck, you know? But like I said, it's a difficult thing, mainly, and it's mainly that difficult because the way the awards are decided, it's the same thing with the top 75, but that's a whole nother conversation for another episode because that can take some time. But one thing I can say is I love the playoffs. I love everything about it. I love the aggressiveness. I love the unpredictability because everybody knows it's so boring to watch the playoffs when you already know who's going to win. And I'm glad the NBA has done a really good job and kind of stepping it up. It's just been ultra competitive. I'll give you guys some insights on some NBA news that's been going on. Apparently the Lakers still have a standing offer to trade Russell Westbrook for John Wall. You guys can let me know what you guys think about it. I'm going to marinate on that one because I'm not really sure how I feel about that. But that is actual news, so that's not one of these things that we're not sure if it's going to happen or not. Also, guys, Jarvis Landry is going home, right? Louisiana, he's signing with the Saints. That's going to be a good look. Also, you know, Odell Beckham still rehabbing, still getting treatment and looking to come back, and I wonder where he might land. That might be interesting because when you think about Jameis Winston and how he has, they're giving him another year to prove himself. mainly because there's a shortage of quarterbacks, right? I mean, that's for a lot of quarterbacks, right? A lot of quarterbacks probably got this season to prove themselves, and that's it. And it's the same thing with Carson Wentz, Tua. There's a lot of quarterbacks right now that really need to prove themselves right now. Even Zach Wilson and on the Jets, I heard you guys are pretty psyched, but Jets are going to be different this year, I'll tell you that. But yeah, that's just to throw some news your way. Also, Brittany Griner, guys, man, tough situation. The president's already said that she's been wrongfully detained. I heard it's been, her detainment is now being extended for another 30 days, which is a month, in order for the pretrial to start. And I don't know what's going on with that. I don't even know what's going on. It's a shame. It's terrible. Now it's like super complicated given the fact that there's clearly a war going on and we're not supposed to be involved, but like I said, it's not a politics show, so I'm not even going to go necessarily there with it. But I will say that it's a terrible time. Shout out to her family. Prayers up. WNBA started just a couple days ago. I saw her wife in the audience showing love, showing her support, showing her teammates support, WNBA support, the lawyers and everything they're doing. I hope everything that they can to bring her back home. And it's just a sad situation that has to happen, unfortunately, right? But also, guys, I'm also going to throw this to you, too. Danny Green, he suffered an ACL tear, so that's going to be crazy. I'm not sure what his contract situation is looking like with Philly, but that's just something to look, you know, to pay attention to. Doc Rivers, just to go back on the Philly situation, I'm sorry. I know everybody, so it just seems like some coaches are just an easy target, and I feel like Doc Rivers is one of those coaches. He's a great coach. I like him. I think he's definitely one of those guys that's great for big personality guys and how to get them, you know, motivated in a sense. Of course, it didn't look like it here with James Harden, but in a way, I don't even know if they kind of saw it as this wasn't the time, maybe. I don't know. Only James Harden can answer those questions. I feel like there's only so many things that the coach can do. Like, yeah, you can motivate, get a good game plan to go together. I even heard that he called a lot of plays for James, and James just opted to not shoot or whatever the case may be. Ridiculous. Don't agree with it. Thought it terrible decision-making on James's part. I just think he was out of shape and gassed and just mentally not there for whatever reason. But anywho, Doc Rivers, I'm hearing that even the Lakers are looking at him, but Daryl Morey he made it pretty clear that he wants Doc to come back for another year and make it work. So I guess they're going to try to figure it out and then go from there. But it is true. Philly just wasn't good enough to beat Miami. That's just true. That's just a fact. I'm also hearing some stories about the Atlanta Hawks trying to pursue Ben Simmons. Like, that is huge. And this is why we need to talk about this, guys, because so the president of the Nets pretty much came out on a presser the other day, was pretty much like, listen, we need guys to be available. And we understand that certain guys can't be available due to injuries and different things like that. But, you know, but when it comes to putting basketball as your main priority, those are the guys that they want to surround themselves by. But anyway, he was pretty much just going on and on, and he wasn't name diamond or name dropping or anything like that. But I feel like at the end of the day, we already knew who he was talking about. He wasn't talking about Kevin Durant. He wasn't talking about anybody. He wasn't talking about, you know, obviously Seth and Andre Drummond. It was pretty clear. You know, he wasn't talking about Bruce Brown. He was talking about Kyrie. And you want to throw Ben Simmons in that category. But it really depends, right? Because we wasn't sure if it was a back injury, and I thought you guys needed physicals before the trade could even go through between Harden and Ben Simmons. So how did that trade even go through if my man needed back surgery? Like, were you just okay with, like, you knew that and you were okay with it, never told the public that, just maintained it was just mental health, right? And then all of a sudden he said he was going to play, and then all of a sudden it was his back, and now he's not going to play, and oh, now he needs surgery, and see, this is why he can't. Whoa. I mean, it's really hard to take people seriously when you got the back and the forth. And but anywho, he was pretty much talking about Kyrie. So it'll be really interesting to see exactly what happens later. We can argue that maybe he was talking about Ben Simmons, but I don't know, because if you were talking about Ben Simmons, that kind of doesn't make any sense, because why would you let that trade go through knowing that this dude was going to potentially need back surgery? Because I'm sure you must have known in the physical what was going on with his back and the herniated disc and such. Anyway, that's going to be really interesting, but you guys let me know how you guys feel about Ben Simmons with the Hawks. I think that would be a nice fit, but here's the thing. Ben Simmons with the shooting thing, I'm not really a fan, because that they're going to need shooters. Trey needs the ball. It would be good if Trey can play off the ball. You know, I don't want to get it twisted and just pigeonhole him, kind of how we did Chris Paul, and say that, oh, him playing the two is not no good. Chris Paul was able to play the two, and by no means am I trying to compare the two, but I'm just trying to say, like, it's not out of the realm of imagination that a point guard can switch to the two and be just fine. But who knows? But I just feel like Brooklyn has a lot more issues than the fans are even willing to admit in the organization. There's just way too much going on. They need to figure that out ASAP, because Kevin Durant, you guys at least owe it to Kevin Durant. I feel like Kevin, he did what he could. Some people may just say that's a cop-out or whatever. I believe in Kevin Durant. I believe he's a team guy. I believe he can be that guy. He does need, obviously, just like anybody else in the league, right? You do need somebody else to play with. But he also needs somebody who's going to be reliable and someone who's going to be there all in 100% of the time and kind of make basketball their main focus. And if that can't be Kyrie, they need to look somewhere else. I think it should just be that simple. I don't think we need to complicate things and say, oh, but Kyrie and this and that. Listen. If you've been listening to me a while, you understand about how when he originally was with the Cavs and how I was with him, I understood it. Some people didn't. They were like, why wouldn't you want to play with LeBron? Like, why, if you feel like you're a Batman, why would you want to be a Robin to someone else's Batman if you feel like you're that dude? You know what I mean? I was kind of equating it before to the Kobe situation with Shaq and how that relationship didn't work out and how Kobe kind of had to, you know, do his own thing without Shaq and ultimately won that ring without him and was kind of like, yeah, see, you know, I didn't need him. You know, even though we were great together and probably could have won like 1,000 more rings. Yeah, we know that already. But I'm nobody's Robin. Like, I'm Batman too, you know. So I was with him. But then, as you know, when you went to the Celtics and, okay, you got injured, things happen, and the locker room was a mess. We can admit that. I mean, whether they're cool now or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, absence makes the heart grow fonder, I guess. But as teammates, they didn't click. They didn't vibe. It didn't work. And even you knew it didn't even work, because it's like, how are you guys all cool, right? I mean, I get how you're cool now. But I mean, like before, when, remember, the Celtics made it all the way to Game 7, you know, in the finals, in the Eastern Conference Finals, and that was without Kyrie. And everybody was there. Everybody was in attendance. Everybody was supporting them. And they were young, Tatum and Brown. Young guys, Marcus Smart, but they had something special there. They were brewing something special, you know. And Kyrie couldn't be bothered because he had, a deviated septum, and he needed surgery on it, like something like that. You couldn't, or procedure, I don't even know if they even call that surgery, but point is, like, he couldn't be bothered. Like, he was pretty much done, you know, and he made those very the poignant statement about, you know, I'll be back if Boston will have me, you know, and he kind of made something similar statement, you know, when it came to the Nets. And it's like, you have to pay attention to those things. Some people be like, oh, you're reading into it. And I remember mentioning that before, and everybody's like, ah, you're reading into it. I'm like, ah, see, some people like Kyrie like thinks about what he's gonna say before he says it, and he seems to have a plan most of the time. So it's at least so you can't lock him into anything, because he'll be like, well, I said if they'll have me, meaning have me for this amount of money or this expecting time. What point is, he left. He wasn't there to support them as a teammate, even if, you know, whatever. It was just, he just seems to be a me guy. And after that, that's when, and it's like, you did all that, dude. Like, Isaiah Thomas, you know, with his issues and how he got forced out because of the trade that Kyrie wanted and went to the, you know, the Cavs. And as you know, when you get traded, you get a physical right off the rip, and that's when they discovered his hip problems, and the Supermax deal was off the table for Isaiah Thomas. And if you guys can even remember who that is or understand his struggle even nowadays, like, he was out the league for a minute. He's struggling to, you know, get 10-day contracts just to keep his head above water. And he was leading the Celtics at one point. He was doing his thing. You know, he was that dude. But, you know, everybody gets hungry and they see a superstar that, you know, and they just jump on it, but not understanding, you know, chemistry and what you need. What does your team need? I always say, like, whenever the draft comes around, doesn't even matter if it's NBA or NFL, really. But when that draft comes around and everybody's like, everybody place so much stock into, like, oh, you're the number one pick. And don't get me wrong, that's a lot of money. It's a big difference between being a number one pick and a number 10 and, you know, and being in the second round. And I totally get that. But I mean, from a standpoint of talent, if you don't get selected number one, it doesn't mean you're not talented. It just means that team that has that number one pick didn't need you necessarily. You know, if you're a team that pretty much is a lock for every other position, but you need a QB, you know, you're gonna try to get your guy, especially if it's a quarterback league, right? You know what I mean? Draft. I mean, you know, you're gonna try to, you know, but what do I know? But anywho, it is what it is when it comes to the Brooklyn Nets, and that I think this offseason is probably going to be one of the better offseasons that we're going to see in a minute, and I'm calling it here. I'm letting you know. I'm going to call a lot of things on this episode. Like, I'm calling RJ Barrett. He's going to be an all-star next year. Watch. Watch, watch, watch. I'm letting you know this offseason is going to be crazy, because I feel like there's a lot of teams that are going to need to make some moves in order to get to that next level. Philly's one of them. Brooklyn's another. The Hawks is another. I believe maybe even the Nuggets, depending on how far or where the Mavs go. There's going to be a lot of switching around, a lot of moves being made, a lot of adjustments, or even maybe with the Warriors. We'll see, depending on where they go and where they get. Because teams understand that chemistry matters now. They understand that you can't just throw a bunch of superstars together. I mean, it's sad that we actually have to say that and actually be like, okay, no, we're serious. You really just can't just throw superstars together and expect it to just work. That day is no more. And that's actually a great thing for the NBA. It's a great thing for the league. It's a great thing for the younger generation watching and understanding what hard work, and everybody has a position to play, and everybody don't need to be Kobe to be on one team in order to win it all. Sure, it helps, but as if they get along. They don't get along. What does it matter? But shout out to Luka Doncic doing his thing. And I'm not just talking about offensively. We already know what a beast he is. We already know what he can do, playmaking ability, controls the tempo of the game, rebounds, big guard. Dude can do it all. But here's the thing. All but defense, right? That's what we used to say. But Luka, I'm saying we got to pay attention to his defense. Luka's that dude. We have to give credit where credit is due. He's taken it upon himself to say, I got to defend. Like, it's not just about, you know, me scoring a ton of points, because I feel like when the Mavs do the best, it's when Luka's scoring about 25, maybe 30 a game. It's not even. I'm going to go around 20, 25, because it's really not even. As long as he gets about maybe 10 assists, 11 assists, that means more than him going for 47. believe it or not, it does, because it means that they're equally distributing the ball. It means that they're spacing really well and everybody's eating. And that means everybody is willing to pull their workload, their work share on the defensive end. And if you have that and you got Chris Paul getting into foul trouble and Devin Booker forcing to do more things than he's more accustomed to, and Bridges, you know, still he's doing his thing. But, you know, some of these guys are still learning, still growing, still need to understand making adjustments. But, you know, Monty Williams, he's a genius at making adjustments. I feel like that force in that game seven, that's huge. Like, Monty Williams is going to come up with a game plan, and he should be able to shut it down, and the Suns should continue on. But at the end of the day, the Mavs are another team that, like the Memphis Grizzlies, like, we're not going anywhere. We're not just going to let you have it just because on paper you're the better team and everybody has you guys to win, and along with Vegas. They're not trying to hear that. They're trying to tell you, like, listen, we've been in this league long enough. Luka's our guy. You know, you're going to have to stop us. You know, I'm still waiting for Dinwiddie to come alive. I'm like, dude, like, I've been, like, you know, praising you for, like, the longest, and I'm just waiting. I'm just like, I'm telling you, if Dinwiddie starts to really light it up, that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem, because the Mavs are doing this without Dinwiddie services, you know, and not saying that he's not playing. It just means he's not playing like the guy that they need him to play to get to that next level. But we're going to see, and we're going to get back into it. But like I said, I can't front. Like, I love the way the playoffs are going. This series that's coming on tonight, where we have the Bucks and the Celtics. Celtics better stop playing. Yeah, we're going to talk. You already know what I'm going to talk about. Okay, listen. So, Marcus Smart. Not so smart within the last couple minutes, right? But who are we going to blame, right? Are we going to say Marcus Smart, or are we going to say Jrue Holiday is that dude? I told y'all, if Jrue Holiday plays the way he's been playing, not necessarily just on the offensive end, but on the defensive end, those three defensive plays that he made off of Marcus Smart, like, just not thinking. I mean, the first one where he quickly was not looking up. In these moments, I hope that they learn from that. I hope Ime Udoka is like, yo, I need the best player on our team in those final minutes bringing up the ball. I'm going to say it for the people in the back. Jason Tatum, I need you bringing up the ball. I need, unless there's a play designed for him to be set up, because if Marcus Smart was looking up, because anybody knows, if you played sports, watched it for a long time as the point guard, what do they always tell you when you dribbling up court? Look up. Look up. You had Jason Tatum in the corner for three. Exactly how many? Like, come on, man. Like, that was hard to watch. Just watching Jason Tatum jump up and down with his hands in the air. You know, just jumping like, dude, I'm right here. But he gets trapped because Jrue Holiday makes the great play, pretty much just takes the ball, and then makes another play on Marcus Smart because he made another bad decision and just trying to just take it all. And at the end of it, they go into the hole. And I'm just like, dude, this is why they say in those moments you need your best player with the ball, because at the end of the day, you'll live or die with your best player having that opportunity, because that's kind of the whole point. That's the whole point. And Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year, you know, I mean, he's earned it, rightfully so, but in those crucial moments, he killed his team. One could argue that the Celtics shouldn't have had themselves in that position, but as you know, the Celtics, the reason why they're in this situation that they're in tonight is because they can't close out games. It has nothing to do with, oh, this team is better. They're just, because they're the defending champs. Like, nah. Yeah, Giannis is good. We know that. Reigning finals MVP. We know that. We know that they're champs for a reason. Middleton's out, though. Come on. We've seen the leads that the Celtics have had on the Bucks. We've seen it. So it's like, stop it. You guys just have a problem with closing out games. You guys just get lackadaisical, right? You guys just let them run up the score, and then all of a sudden you look up and you're like, oh crap, like we could lose this game if we don't do what we're supposed to do. And sure enough, this is pretty much how you've lost all these games. All these games have come within a couple of points. They haven't beat you guys, you know, outside of, well, I think with maybe like that one game. But it's like, come on, man. They got to be better. They got to be smarter. Jason Tatum's got to be aggressive and just ask for the ball. He just needs to be like, yo, give me the ball. Give me the ball. He has to be more aggressive. If Marcus Smart is going to continue to bring up the ball in those crucial moments, he has to look up. Because that was a quick outlet pass to Tatum, and Tatum could have tied it. Some people would say, oh, he could have missed. It doesn't matter. The whole point is for you to get that opportunity. We can't even say what would have happened because he never had the opportunity. You definitely don't want a turnover in that situation because you weren't looking up. You weren't paying attention to what the defense was doing. Like, that was crucial. That was big. And Giannis, everybody came to play. I mean, Jrue Holiday not only came up with that big three down the stretch, Giannis also came up with a big shot. You know, and then Jrue Holiday sealed the deal with his defense. And it was just ironic that he happened to do it on Marcus Smart. I was like, wow. And I like Marcus Smart, but I was like, dude, you're killing me, man. Like, killing me, Smalls. Like, man, like, that was just, it was just out of character. And it's like, you guys got to step it up because you do that tonight, it's over. It is over. So we'll see what they're going to do tonight, see if they can force it. Game seven? We'll see. But I'm like, that was, that was something. But you already heard the story on the Warriors. They got to stop playing. Ja's still out. Don't think that makes them a weaker team. Because they're a team. They're together with this. Clark, the way he's playing and defending and rebounding and putting up shots, these guys are not afraid of the moment. They don't know better. They don't know enough to be scared, right? Like, they're just in it to win it. They're playing with house money right now. My thing is, this is on Steph. I'm like I said, Klay, he's been out. I feel like he's still trying to find his rhythm and find himself. Jordan Poole has played his tail off. We can't ask any more of him than what he's been given because it's all been a shocker. It's been a surprise. We just need them to step up more defensively. But when you're talking about offensively and you're talking about getting control of this game, this series, it's all on you, Steph. How will you respond? We'll see tonight. Guys. Always remember one thing. Losses equals life lessons. Peace.
This is the Ripple Effect with your girl K-Dot, where we're discussing NBA and NFL and everything in between.